Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Rhys Carey rigs up her 200 in style.
Full Sam Kerr.
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin. Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Desk here on Sin 90.7 FM. I'm Ben Pascuzzi, and I'm joined by Liam O'Grady. Liam, how are we?
Good. Is that how you say your last name? I've been trying to pronounce your last name for ages.
It's either you can go Pascuzzi or Pascuzzi. I think Pascuzzi is the proper Italian name, but
sounds
I'm
like
just
a nice
bit lazy,
pasta, yeah.
So I'll go Pascuzzi. So.
Wait, you're Italian and you don't go for Carlton. That's very odd.
I know, it is very odd. Well, Dad went for Fitzroy, so... he actually started barracking for Carlton when he was young, and then I think he watched a Fitzroy game with one of his uncles or something, and barracked for the old Roy boys, so that's why I'm a Brisbane fan Carlton, and I'm very grateful for that, because I would not like to be a Carlton supporter, that's for
well,
sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, Carlton supporters.
Maybe your dad saw the future and was like, oh, yeah, dark times ahead.
Dark times ahead. Well, there were dark times ahead for Fitzroy as well. We didn't win a flag since 44, so...
Then you died.
Exactly, unfortunately passed away. But anyway, we won't be talking about Fitzroy. We're talking about my girls, the Brisbane Lions, because a bit of AFLW coming up, Liam O'Grady.
Oh, massive week. Records broken galore. 7 sausage rolls, if you don't mind.
Last week, the record was tied, if we remember correctly. Aaron Phillips kicking 4, but now there's been 7. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? The record's tumbling in the AFLW, and it's just great to see.
Oh, it's beautiful. Brooke Lockhart, 7 goals, 3. One should have been a goal, but wasn't. One should have been a point, but it was a goal. You know,
all's
sunrise,
fair.
Sunsets.
Exactly, all's fair. And she was just dominant. I mean, what's going on with the Doggies? They're off. Completely off.
You mean Carlton?
Sorry, Carlton, Sorry, I was just looking at the wrong one. I had Doggies Carlton here for the next match. That's all right.
We're talking about the men's Doggies. That's completely different.
Exactly. Now, Carlton, they're just... The last 2 weeks, they've just been absolutely in terrible form, and it just appears that the teams who are... Really, teams who love to move the footy and love to run with it, like a la Brisbane last week and now Fremantle, they are just getting absolutely demolished. So, not too good footy here from Carlton. So, does something need to happen and change in their game plan? Because they're very defensive.
I don't know. I think the loss of Taylor Harris hurt, and I think the fact that Bree Davies is out is probably, especially last season and the first round, she's their most important player. The heart and soul of the team. And where the Doggies, I think, had the experience last year of having Brennan out for the entire year, helped.
Because if you don't have just that main player, I guess everyone else has a chance to contribute. And I guess that's what worked for them. Yeah.
But the Carlton were atrocious. They were absolutely terrible. Could not defend. Don't know what's happened to Darcy Vessio. Was prime player last season. Absolutely nowhere to be seen this year. And, don't know. Their season's done.
Yeah, without a doubt. So they lost their 12-14, 86 to 2-1-13.
And the former captain Lauren Arnell was the only scorer for Carlton in that game.
Incredible. Moving on now to Brisbane. My girls getting a very nice win against Fremantle, against your girls. It was close throughout the match, and then we just kicked clear in that final term. So.
Well, when I did my vote on Wednesday, since Michael's no longer doing Monday, there was a Brisbane player in my votes.
Ooh. Stay tuned.
Tassie girl herself, who probably, calling it now, is going to move to North Melbourne once they enter next year, because they're playing some home games in Tasmania. But the Lions just keep on winning. That's their thing. The team that no one thought they would win at all last year, made the granny, lost one game this year, and their match against Melbourne this week
is absolutely huge.
The grand final. If Melbourne lose, they're out. Brisbane win. And Doggies got quite an easy run home with Collingwood, GWS and Melbourne. So if Doggies can keep winning and Brisbane can defeat Melbourne, that's pretty much the grand final set. As Michael called in round 2, that he called it the grand final, so he could be onto it.
He could be a bit of a future analyst. That's incredible. But yeah, Brisbane, even this season, no one really predicted them to make the top 2. And just again, they're just being ever reliable again. No real out-and-out stars. It's more of just of a team performance. And obviously the loss of Taylor Harris hurt them, but... Yeah, they're just proving yet and again that they are proving to be the most consistent team in the league.
Mm. And I better say, something I'll say that hurts you, the fact that Trelaw hasn't kicked a goal, but then you got Rochester, from coming second in the goal kicking. Kick two, had 18 touches against Frio. You know, not much you can do there. For the Dockers, not really. I think Philip Kramer was good. Dolan was what you expect, and Hooker. And Stacey Barr kicked a nice goal that we needed, which I had tiptoed as a player to watch during the season, has failed until this week. But not a bad, you know, Brisbane 1-3-4-22 to Frio 2-3-15 in the wet. Not the only game that was affected by the rain at all this week.
Yeah, GWS and Adelaide. It was a bit of torrential rain there there in Sydney. And Adelaide, an incredible fight back in that final quarter to make it our first draw. 2-7-19 apiece.
Yes. And the player of the match broke a Australian football record. Not a men's, not a women's. We're putting them together. Both. With 21 tackles, Ebony Marinoff. Defeated Tom Liberatore. So you got Tom Liberatore, Jack Zeeble, and Jude Bolton. Surprisingly, Hayes is in there. Tackle record of both 19. She is now the highest, most tackles in a game of football. And that is absolutely unbelievable.
That's incredible stuff for both men and women to get that. And particularly to beat the men in that, considering that the AFLW play in a lot less time than the men. And
well, seven tackles in the first quarter kind of helped.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, I mean, when you get that early, and plus the rain will help as well with the contested footy, and AFLW's a lot, you could argue that it's a lot more contested than the men's style of footy, but obviously that'll open up in future years. But still, incredible record. Yes. 21 tackles. Unheard of.
That is definitely. And I was going to say, credit to the GWS captain, Amanda Faruga. If it wasn't for her, especially in the back, especially in the last 10 minutes of the game, Adelaide would have run out winners. Solid as a rock in defence. That's what you need in a close game. And GWS, to their credit, has been, apart from that game against Carlton, they've been quite good this year.
Yep, they've been very, very good. And we'll, on that note, we'll go to the ladder. And so the Doggies...
No Melbourne yet?
No Melbourne yet. Well, if you want to, you can go.
I'll quickly run through it. Yes, Collingwood got off the board with their first win of the season. Did not get off the bottom of the ladder, though, because of the draw.
No, they're still bottom.
Defeated Melbourne 9-4-58 to 3-6-24. Collingwood was zip in the first quarter to Melbourne's two goals. Moira Hope could have got one of the players of the match, kicking two goals, three.
She's starting to look in some good form the last couple of weeks. I mean, she didn't start the season overly well. Obviously, last season wasn't great. So, yeah, credit to her. She's doing well.
Big name players like Cunningham wasn't seen. Cranston, I think, was injured. Daisy Pearce, I'm trying to find the touches. She only had nine touches. Melbourne, two losses in a row. Game against Brisbane is massive. Can't wait to see how that plays out.
Looking at the ladder now, I think we've done most of the matches, yes?
Yes, all the matches are done.
I went a little bit early there. So the Doggies lead the Brisbane Lions by percentage and...
200%. Well, I was just going to say,
it's just even. Well, bang on 200. So that's just incredible form from the Doggies.
We forgot to mention, though, they did also break the record of the highest score.
Oh, yes.
21-14-86. That is... Whew. And Doggies posted...
It's higher than some men's scores from last year as well.
Yeah, Doggies were higher than probably most Carlton scores. Haven't scored over 100 since 2016.
Incredible stuff. And they're getting Friday night matches. What's going on?
Yeah, both teams.
That's
a Wednesday topic.
Exactly, that's a Wednesday topic. So thanks, Caleb. We've just got your topic there.
The Doggies did post actually straight after the game, women's games aren't high scoring, hold my beer. So
yeah,
they're on board. But yeah, Doggies first, 200%. Grand finals there to lose. Brisbane second. Three wins, one loss, 137%, way off the Doggies, but in that top two. Melbourne, if they lose to Brisbane, they're out. Fremantle, if they lose to GWS, they're out. Carlton's gone. So the other two contenders are must win games. I'll say must win game for Brisbane as well this weekend.
Well, Carlton is still a sneaky chance, you could say, but if... They have to rely on Brisbane losing.
They have to pull a 99.
Because look at this. What's their percentage, Liam?
55.70.
55.7. Yeah. That's incredible. And then you got the Doggies on 200.
Yeah, the lowest in the league, Carlton is. But just like their men struggled to score as well. And having Vessio...
It's a Carlton thing.
Yeah, having Vessio and Harris, I thought they'd be your highest scoring team.
Guess some things aren't meant to be.
Straight into the JLT... The pointless competition with no cup. Don't know why. I'm not a fan. They need something to play for. I missed the NAB Cup.
It's interesting because we always talked about how we didn't see the point in having a cup. And then now all of a sudden when we don't have the cup, we're just like, well, what's the point of the JLT?
And it just gives teams something to play for. At least the cup makes it a bit more competitive.
But do they need something to play for in the preseason? I don't know. I've loved the NAV Cup, don't get me wrong, but...
Nothing was better than 05, Carlton winning, I think, the Wizard Cup it was back in those days. Yeah, Wizard Cup, then winning the Wooden Spoon in the same year. Like, talk about false hope. Nothing better than false hope.
I reckon we just don't have the NAV Cup anymore, because I just want to add the saying that Brisbane won the last ever NAV Cup. I think it was 2013.
Oh, yes, and Vossi got sacked the same year, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
What a year for Brisbane. And he just missed the finals by, like, pretty much by 2 points that year. That was...
Yeah, it wasn't
a very interesting gross season that was for the Lions.
Yeah, well, anyway, back to the JLT and start off with a bang, North Melbourne and Melbourne. And North Melbourne weren't able to beat their bunny side in Melbourne like they do in the regular season, getting absolutely walloped by the D's.
Played in Tassie, which is, you know, a lot has been spoken about Tassie. I'm surprised that so many people showed up. North Melbourne also came out pretty much saying, we don't want to play more games in Tassie. A lot of Tasmanians came out and said, good, we don't want you to either. That's what I saw on social media, so equal love.
We can talk about Tassie on Wednesday as well. Yeah. That's ridiculous, the situation down there, unfortunately for Tasmania. But
very, very impressive game. Bailey Fritsch from Melbourne scored 3-2 in his unofficial first game. Jesse, the Bogan Hogan, kicked 3. And North Melbourne, apart from Billy Hartung, who played good, I'm surprised he got delicious from Hawthorn.
Yeah.
Played well for his first game. Brennan Brown picked up where he left off. And Luke Davis Uniacke, the big controversial pick with the fact that everyone thought he was going to go to Fremantle and then didn't go to Fremantle. People thought he didn't want to go to Fremantle because he didn't want to move. Played okay. Got 12 touches. Didn't set the world alight. Overall, not a bad way to start off. Much better, much closer game than the next one. Oh, sorry, yeah, North Melbourne ended up winning 19-10, 124 to 11-5.
Also, Jakey Lever looked very, very good for the day. So
yes.
Much to the disgust and dismay of Adelaide supporters, he's looking very, very nice in Melbourne colours.
Yes. And then you got to go to the Richmond, and the reigning premiers, pretty much a premiership list. A lot of them played in the grand final last year, absolutely demolished the Bombers. Dusty Martin, 1, 24 touches, as you do, picked up where he left off. Who did pick up where he left off. The man with the worst haircut in the AFL at the moment, Jakey Stringer. He does not look like the package anymore. He's not the package.
No.
If he was the package, I'll be sending it back.
Yeah. send back to sender.
Yes.
Return back to sender.
It's
his first hit out for the year. Obviously, huge controversy of his move from the Doggies. Don't think you need to take a whole lot into that performance, potentially. Obviously, it is just pre-season. Let him get his mojo. He needs to fit into a new system, new game plans and all that at the Bombers. So, yeah, not all is lost for the package.
Yes.
But if he's able to produce his best, I mean,
it'd be good.
It'd be incredible.
Well, the other two recruits, Devin Smith and Adam Saad.
He kicked, incredible. Just that burst of speed and then the kick it from... Was it outside 50 in the end?
I think it was
or close,
square.
Whatever it was.
Square,
either way, he's just... The way his speed breaking out from the pack is incredible. So, what a pick up there for the Bombers.
But yeah, like I said, Richmond. Sorry, I was talking about a successful team.
Oh, get lost. You go for Freo. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. Not talking about my team's successful. God. But Brisbane ended up winning easy 9-10, exact same as Melbourne, 124-5-7-37. Let's go to Freo, speak with the devil. First thing I've got to say, Fife's a sexy man.
He's
a beautiful, beautiful specimen.
He's a beautiful human being.
He is.
I love him.
He played phenomenal.
Love him?
Oh, everyone loves him.
Yes.
But
if you don't love Fife, then I don't think you're a true AFL supporter.
Yeah.
But how good did he look? He played basically everywhere yesterday.
He played
up forward, played in the back line. He looked good both in the forward and back line. Question I put to you, Liam, is in round one, where does he line up?
Centre bounce will start in the middle.
And then where does he go?
Go forward? He can be our key target.
Because he looks like your best target,
without
a doubt.
Him and Tabana also...
I like Matty Tabana.
Few good marks, really good marks. And Freo is a good example because they've got a lot of young kids. And the thing I don't like about the JRT, like you've got Bailey Banfield, who's a rookie, kicked 2, took a lot of marks. A lot of hype about him now playing round one because of a JLT game. There's not much you can take out of that. The Fifearn, the best thing I saw was a bump. He got, I think it was Paul Seisman, ran off, tried to bump him. Fife didn't budge.
Incredible.
Like, I don't know if you've seen Fife when he debuted. He was a skinny, skinny kid.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's a beast.
Now he's built. That's what you got to do with all these youngsters, though. Yeah. They've just got to take at least 2-3 years development.
The last free player I want to talk about is Alex Pierce, who hasn't played since round 6, 2016, and was actually in the best. And that is
good
incredible.
To say. That's
that
a great
incredible.
Story. That's a great story there.
Another great story is Bryce, well, not really a great story, but Bryce Gibbs, 28 touches, played phenomenal.
He's going to be cutting his hair also.
Yeah, I saw that. About time. Yeah. But then, granted, there is a new hair trend, and I know hair trends because of Bryce Gibbs. Every time there's a new thing, he has it. Matty Crouch, absolute ball magnet, 36 touches, and a nice goal. Adelaide might found a new Charlie Cameron here with Lachie Murphy. 3 goals, 1, including one in the dying stages of the match. That's who they might need. What I don't get, and the commentating was abysmal in that game. There was a point in the last quarter where they were talking about Adelaide's grand final loss and how they can't cope in big games. The only big game they lost was a grand final, and they smashed GWS, and it just made no sense to me. Really, really confusing.
I guess that's what you get in the preseason. Mm. You can't really ask for much more, I guess.
Pretty much.
Well, anyway, Adelaide, yeah, getting the win there, 91 yes. to 81. It was a late fight back by the Dockers, your boys, but yeah, Adelaide.
Ballantyne had a
off.
Chance to seal the game 2 minutes ago when choked under the pressure, kind of like Ballantyne's forte there.
Yeah. Oh, the West Coast game. Remember that one when he kicked it from outside 50 on that tight angle? We thought it was in.
Yeah.
But it hit post, I think?
Hit the post, yeah. But for me, it was more the grand final where...
Oh, just the whole performance.
Oh, he played atrocious. Jeez. And talk about atrocious. Happened again, the point. I know it's JLT, but it's happened again. Lewis Jetta, instead of Luke Shuey, it was Lewis Jetta, kicked the winning goal in the last minute to win 8-8-56 6,
and it
54.
Was a massive roost. There was from inside the square. I think it was about 65
it
centimetres.
It was massive, yeah.
And it wasn't a torp. It was a drop bunt. Yeah. And I reckon it sailed through about, what, 3 rows, 5 rows back into the stands?
Yep.
It went through like halfway up the goalpost. An incredible goal there.
It'd be good if Jetta can come back to his best like he was at Sydney, because he was a really good player when he was at Sydney. I don't know what stadium it was, but the stadium looked fantastic, the West Coast Port one.
Leaderville Oval, it was.
It looked really nice. Yeah. It looked really, really nice. The West Coast new logo and jumper's grown on me, but I do like their royal blue.
I love the royal blue.
Much better than their dark blue. It looks fantastic. Port Adelaide, really no one stood out. Jack Watts didn't play his best. Lindsay Thomas only had the one touch. Motlop. No, just no one really. Maybe Jack Trengove, I think, will say, out of all their new recruits, was the best. But, like I said, it's a JLT game, so we can't take much out of it. But not the start Port will want.
Nah. Obviously, yeah, going down 2 points. 8-8-56 to 8-6-54 in a very low-scoring contest.
Yeah.
Doggies women absolutely smashing them there.
Doggies women, what?
Doggies women smashing them there in the scoring.
Oh, yes.
Come on, Liam. Yeah, so, they've smashed, yeah, obviously...
They outscored North, Essendon, Frio, and both the other teams. There you go, to say the women can't score.
Yeah, incredible stuff. Robbie Gray has been reported for a bump on McGovern. Were you able to see it?
I did see it. It looks like he was in the play, but he did raise his shoulder, and that's what I think would get him. Because he did raise his shoulder, got him head high. I think McGovern played the rest of the game, though.
Mm.
So, which might have him get off.
But this will be interesting to see, though, with the new match review panel. Just the one member.
Yes.
Be a good starting block.
But if Cochin can play the grand final, I think he should get off.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get much for that. If anything, it might be a week. That's it. But it'll be a good starting point for this new panel. But, yeah, what can you do? And just also in other news, Gary Ablett.
Yes.
In an intra-club match has strained his hamstring and is rumoured that he is in doubt for round one.
I know Geelong's playing it down, but if you watched Fox Footy last year, they did the whole thing about what does this really mean. So hamstring tightness means you go out for 4 weeks. But it is at 34 years of age.
And he's had a history of hamstring issues.
You don't need to risk him, I say. You know, you got Dangerfield, you got Ablett. Hell, don't even play.
Selwood. That midfield is stacked. Duncan, Jesus.
Salwood again.
Yeah, the other Salwood.
God, the Ducks there.
Geelong Ducks.
I'll say you don't even need to play Abler until they play GWS at HD ABC GBDA Stadium. Can't remember what it's called.
GM. I think it's like GM HBA or something.
Yeah, GM HBA Stadium.
Let's just call it Cardinia Park.
That's what it should
Skilled
be called.
Stadium. Skilled,
yes.
Just yeah. So, I think it's GM HBA. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
So you don't need to risk him until then.
No. And a player like Gary Ablett, you got a stacked midfield. There's no point.
But someone who's not a fake injury is Daniel Morris from the Western Bulldogs, who partially tore his ACL in an interclub match, and he at 35. Either he's going to come back mid-season or he's just going to call it a day, which is unfortunate news for a Premiership superstar.
The Winter Olympics are done. Finn. So, we will go through the final medal tally. So, leading and the winners overall were Norway.
Oh, Norway. Norway, that's true.
Wow.
And that's my pun of the day, guys.
I like that.
Yes, thank you.
So, no way they did that. So, they got 14 gold and silver and 11 bronze medals with a total of 39. Liam's just fixing his headphones there. Now, Germany finishing second. He's holding off on a World War joke, so I'm proud of him there. They came in second place with a total of 31 medals.
And for most of the Olympics, they did have the most gold, and I feel like that's more important than the medals. And I know a former Olympian, and she always said that silver's the worst. You don't want to win silver. Mm. Bronze, like, I've made it.
Yeah, you've made it.
Silver, you finished second.
Yeah.
You're second. Gold and bronze is what you want.
I love it. Lindsay Vonn, she's a alpine skier for the USA. She's 33 years of age, like the oldest skier, and she came in bronze, and her dad absolutely caned her pretty much for that, calling her either a winner, which is either the gold medal, or a loser. So came away with the bronze medal there, and she absolutely copped it. So,
well, there was a Chinese skier as well who came second, and he was distraught. He was an absolutely emotional wreck.
Of course you would be. I mean, you worked 4 years for this. Well, China... Even longer, potentially.
China and Olympics, you have normal school and you have Olympic school. So if you're going to be Olympian, you go to Olympic school.
Mm.
So you spend your whole life training and you come second and win. If you know anything about the Chinese, they don't like to come second.
They do not. where did we finish, Australia?
We finished 26th with Spain. Oh, no, that's New Zealand. Wrong country. 23rd.
Yeah, a bit higher than that. So we only got the 2 silver, 1 bronze with the 3 total. What do you make of our Winter Olympic campaign? This was lived up and hyped up to be our best ever Winter Olympics
Have you seen the joke now on social media? Or can I copy your homework? Yeah, just make sure it's not too obvious. Well, this is the exact same to our last one.
Yeah.
Exact same medal tally.
Yeah.
Oh, like you said, it was too hyped up. And you got Bruce McAvaney saying, oh, it's the greatest Olympic team we're sending over. It's going to be delicious. Marvellous.
I think that's just Bruce trying to add a bit more to the commentary and to the, I don't know, broadcast potentially. But was it our best Winter Olympics team ever? It'd be one of our best.
We had a lot of close calls, and I think that's what makes it probably one of our best. But overall, I know you see that. Granted, we have struggled in the Summer Olympics the last two ones as well. But Australia is one of those countries where you expect results. You know, unless it's even in soccer, we're kind of like the Americans, where we're delusional and think we have a chance to win the Soccer World Cup. But we do expect to at least win a gold. I'm a bit disappointed we didn't win a gold. But 2 silvers, 1 bronze. But most of them were, I think, in the first week. So towards the end, we really had nothing.
Mm. Well, what can you do, really? We'll go through a couple of final events now.
The two big ones.
Yes, the curling. We'll start off with, because that's just absolutely gone off on YouTube, on Facebook, Twitter, with the Simpsons supposedly predicting them, the US to take out Sweden in the curling final. And obviously in the ice hockey, Germany and the athletes from Russia, I think that's how you call it, yeah?
Yep.
The athletes from Russia, athletes from Russia actually defeated Germany in extra time.
Yeah, 4-3. And that was an absolute intense game. And unfortunately for Canada as well, they lost the bronze medal game to Czech Republic the day before. So very disappointing for Canada, who love their ice hockey. But massive win for Russia. Brilliant gold medal. Germany came second. There was a lot of people joking about how they won the World Cup and then lost. They did the World Cup and then lost in the ice hockey. But, it was a great game. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I love ice hockey.
Mm, so do I, actually, yeah.
It's probably my favourite Winter Olympic sport, second to curling.
Oh, I love... See, as someone who doesn't mind lawn bowls, curling does my head in. Because it's the same as lawn bowls, with the ball getting closer to the ball than some...
You played bocce before?
Yeah.
I love bocce as well.
I did... The last time I played bocce, I did the best comeback. I think it was like four games down and I won five in a row. Oh.
Such a good game.
Comeback of the century. I need, like, you know, BT or something there to commentate.
Imagine Brian Taylor commenting lawn bowls or bocce or something like that.
He bowls it! He bowls it! He knocks it out of the way! Boy, oh boy!
What a move! Incredible! Imagine him doing that. That'd be something. Oh. That'd be something else. All right. Overall thoughts on the Winter Games?
Maybe because it was in our time zone, much more Australian hype than the other ones. You know, usually you forget it's even on.
Yeah.
But this one, yeah, a lot of hype. A lot of people watched it on during our time, so we can watch it. And I think overall, success.
We'll get stuck into the NBA at the moment, and
Cleveland are down. Cleveland lose two out of three.
Yeah, Cleveland back at it again. They lost yesterday, and they are not looking good. Two days ago. And today, unfortunately, they are down against the San Antonio Spurs. They are currently losing 92-79 there midway through the fourth quarter. It was on Saturday that they did record another loss, unfortunately. So, Cavs starting to show a bit of signs of their old team, of their old side, but I don't think there's too much to get into that. But yeah, the Cavs, they still sit in third in the Eastern Conference, still pretty up top there. And obviously the Raptors are just denying the critics every single game they play. They are phenomenal leading the East.
Yep, and you also got the Wizards and the Pacers on Cleveland's
Pacers
tail.
Pacers have been another surprise as well.
Yeah. None of them are playing today, but the Wizards are playing the 76ers, which should be a massive game. Our boy, the, you know, non-all-star Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. And the Western Conference is pretty much the same. The Rockets are going on their business. Golden State, also going on their business. And Timberwolves as the surprise packet of the season. I predict that they'll win a championship in the next 4 years.
Is that you or your brother?
Oh, I think that's me. That is definitely my own opinion. And
so you're not going to give your brother any credit at all for
I'm
that.
The older brother, so no.
To be fair, your brother did say 5 years, I believe it was.
Yes. But I was
so
like,
you
yeah.
said 4 years.
But my little brother has to learn the fact that as the older brother, I rule supreme.
How old is your younger brother?
14.
14?
Yeah, and I'm absolutely stiffening him here.
Get him on the show.
Zuckerberging him.
Get him on the show. We can talk some NBA with him. All right, yeah. Sorry about that. Philly.
He's calling in now.
Nah, Philly play the Washington Wizards here today. So that should be good for us, my boys, Philly. We are on a current winning streak.
You say
actually.
Your boys, Philly, but I've stalked your social media and there's a lot of Cleveland. Not Cleveland, I'm Golden State.
Is there a lot of Golden State on my face?
There's a few Golden State jerseys you've been wearing.
Oh, no. That's the one jersey, yes. When Andrew Bogut came here to Australia, I found a Golden State jersey, like half price or whatever. It's like $50. I'm like, yeah, why not? He's coming. I was going to go get it signed by him, and I still got it at home. Signed.
So are you always been a Philly fan? Or
I started going for Philly as soon as Ben Simmons got drafted, because I had no team. All I supported was like all the Australian teams, so that's hence like the Warriors, because they had Bogut, Cavs when they had Delva Dover. I was just all-around NBA Australia.
I've always been Celtics.
And then as soon as Ben Simmons gets drafted, I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to pick them, and then when I see Joel Embiid, that is dominating 20 games in the season, I made my choice last season. Yep, I'll be going for the Philadelphia 76ers, and I've never looked back since.
Nice. Well, it's been two years.
I'm not a Warriors fan.
Also, Joe Ingles, 200 consecutive NBA games, third highest at the moment.
Yes.
That's an incredible record.
Yeah, and he was very stiff not to get into the three-point contest. Yet again, 2 years in a row, he has been robbed, so I don't care what Adam Silver says. He's like, oh, no, there's no agenda. There's no bias against Australian players. There clearly is.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons not getting picked in the All-Star, and then now Joe Ingles.
He's like that guy that's like, I'm not racist. All my friends are black. I'm not prejudiced against Australia. All my friends are Aussies.
Just ridiculous stuff. Oh. Anyway, yeah, moving to the West. Houston, again, absolutely just leading it there against the Warriors, who are in second. The T-Wolves, like we discussed before, are in third, and this is really where they should be. Such a young team. Unfortunately, though, Jimmy Butler is their main star, is injured. He hasn't done his ACL. He's done it's like a mediate ligament.
Mediate cruciate ligament.
It wasn't his ACL, that's for sure. He's out for 4 to 6 weeks, I believe it is. It's not too long. But there was a lot of talk. We'll stick with Jimmy Butler because he was selected in the All-Star match.
He put out last minute, and I was like, well, there's a spot there.
He didn't play.
For a certain Australian that could have, perfectly fit and healthy, that could have played there.
Lou Williams, who's also a chance of potentially getting picked in that All-Star match, was just like, I can't remember the post exactly, but he's basically saying, Jimmy, like, are you serious? Like, he's been picked in the All-Star match. There's been a lot of controversy about players not getting picked. And he doesn't play. And the rumour was why he didn't play was because he was a bit hungover from the previous night. Apparently there were Snapchats from mates of Jimmy or maybe even Jimmy himself of him taking shots at a bar at about 4 o'clock in the morning. So if that is the case,
A true All-Star would have played.
Exactly. Yeah. And Charles Barkley has previously come on and said that he has played a little bit hungover before. Surely Jimmy can do that in an All-Star match.
Talk about any sport. Like, I'm pretty sure Dane Swan's probably, had a couple before he played.
Never know.
Grabbed 30 touches, kicked a few goals.
Yeah, you never know. Potentially, yeah. The T-Wolves third, and obviously the Spurs just keep rolling along there in
fourth. And
they got
the Blazers, the Nuggets, Thunder, and the Pelicans round up there, top eight.
Yeah, Clippers, Utah also are in a chance there for that eighth seed.
The Jazz finally lost a game after their 10-win streak.
Yep. Jazz looking very good with Donovan Mitchell and our man, Joe Ingles. Back to the East, we'll just go through the final teams there. It's in sixth place, it is Milwaukee. Then in seventh, we got Philly, and followed by Miami. And Philly are on a 7-game winning streak.
They are absolutely killing it.
Absolutely carving up. We've got texts. This is from the same sender. There's no name, but he says that the FIFA World Cup, Australia have a chance. Are we in agreement here?
There's no just thing as a wrong, silly question, but yeah, no, he's off the mark.
Ooh.
By a mile.
Off the mark by a mile. I tend to agree with this sender.
Do you think Australia's got a chance to win the FIFA World Cup?
You never know. New coach? May bring a new system?
new coach, who's this?
I'm not sure if he means a chance of winning or a chance of, like, progressing. I think we got a chance of progressing.
I think we got a chance of progressing, yeah.
But you never know. We are Australia.
I was saying, unless we play Italy, but that's not possible, actually, because...
Yeah, where is Italy? Are they in the World Cup? Oh, wait. No, they're not.
Payback from 06.
Well, I'm Italian as well, and I don't care. I'm just proud that...
Payback from 06, yeah.
Exactly. Karma. And he also says the JLT over NAB Cup any day. I tend to agree with that. Obviously, I don't think you are.
I love the JLT format. I love the local. But I do believe there should be a cup at the end of it, though.
Yeah, well, it is pre-season. There's nothing... I don't see a point in anything.
I want my team to win a cup, okay?
That's the reason why, listeners. We got a sorry Fremantle supporter over here. He's had no success ever in the competition.
No.
He wants a chance to win something. So that's why I think we can prove that his point is invalid at this stage. All right. Anyway, we'll get stuck into... Speaking of FIFA World Cup, we'll talk some soccer. And the A-League here is heating up. Last round's coming up. Sydney FC leading as usual. It's looking like they're going to go back-to-back. They're leading 11 points clear up the top of the standings. They defeated the Western Sydney Wanderers in the local Sydney Derby there yesterday, 3-1.
Yep, and Newcastle, who are second behind them, scored a 1-0 victory, where Melbourne in third place, Melbourne City lost 2-1 to Perth Glory. And Melbourne Victory won 3-0 against Adelaide. And to wrap things up in the
game... And that win there by Melbourne Victory saw them leapfrog the Adelaide United into fourth position.
And
very crucial win.
You know how we spoke about Carlton getting a lot of Friday night games? Talk about a Friday night blockbuster. Mm-hmm. Central Coast Mariners versus Wellington Phoenix. I know. Is it possible? How do they feel pushing people away from the stadium?
You want to see a bottom place Friday night match. That is ultimate goals right there.
It is, yep. And Central Coast Mariners defeated well in the Phoenix. 1-0 to keep the Phoenix on the bottom of the table, looking, I think, towards their first wooden spoon in their A-League history. Because I know the New Zealand Knights got a wooden spoon, but
yes,
different teams.
There we go. I was going to say, because I remember them. All right, so that's A-League and soccer done and dusted. So we'll just may as well get our early predictions for the title because the finals are coming up.
Oh, Sydney.
Sydney? Yeah, Sydney all around. And do we think any of our Melbourne teams can make the final?
I think Victory could. Depends where they finish.
Because Victory had a shocking start to the season.
If they finish fourth, no. If you play Sydney, you're not going to make it.
Never know. Okay, so that's soccer. The cricket, Australia playing South Africa in the tour match. I believe that match has just finished. A lot of good signs there. Pat Cummings and Josh Hazlewood absolutely teared through the South African touring team in that first innings there. And in the batting, it was Sean Marsh. Cam Bancroft actually did well. I think he scored 46 or something. And I remember watching the replay. He was dismissed, caught behind, hitting down to final leg. He was caught by the keeper, and he was absolutely filthy with the umpire's call. He believes he didn't hit it. I guess it's a tour match. We'll never know. But, it's good to... I actually like that, see his passion in the tour match after getting dismissed like that. So that's good to see.
And we've got a lot of passion. If you remember our last time we played South Africa in Test, we need some passion there. Yeah, we were absolutely atrocious. So at least a win against, I think, the best Test team in the world, South Africa.
Ooh, are they?
I think they...
I'm not too sure on that. I think they are.
Wait, let me just quickly check it.
We'll have a quick look. I'll just quickly get stuck into a bit of Sheffield Shield and... what's his name? Matt Renshaw, sorry. Just blew my mind there. Matt Renshaw scored another ton for Queensland. He's
still stiff to not be in the Test squad. I'm a huge, huge Matt Renshaw fan, so...
Me too, I am also.
The fact he got dropped from the Ashes still doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, so Cam Bancroft... Definitely a lot of pressure on him if Matt Renshaw can keep his form. He did score a double ton, I believe it was, or close to a double ton against Victoria. And then now, obviously, he's scored 112, 148 balls against South Australia. So he is in ominous form as the Queensland Bulls do lead the Sheffield Shield standings at this stage of the season.
Nice. And I was wrong. India's number one. Well, Kohli's number one, depends who you want to ask.
I think Kohli's number one.
Yeah, Kohli's number one.
India number two.
Yeah.
Who's number two?
South Africa.
And then we're third. We're third. All right, yes. So either way, it's going to be an absolute cracking series. It starts Thursday, and it is at an Australian-friendly time. It starts at 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time.
AM or PM?
PM. How friendly is that?
Yeah, a whole 5 hours, and by the time it's like 4 a.m.
Just after a whole day of work, uni, whatever you got, school, you can come back and you can watch one of the greatest test series ever, Australia and South Africa. It is going to be massive. There is no doubt about that.
It's going to be big. Let's hope Australia, we did...
Is it a three-game series?
Yep.
It usually is against South Africa. All right, that pretty much wraps up the sports test for today, Monday. Liam, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, it has been fantastic.
You'll be back on Monday with Caleb.
I'll be back on Wednesday with Caleb.
I meant Wednesday. I don't know why I said Monday. It is Monday morning, so give me a break. What can you do? So, yeah, you'll be back on Wednesday.
Yes.
That is with Caleb. And obviously on Friday, it'll be Michael and Neve. So
they got a huge rap on Friday.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Sin absolutely loved them. We loved them as well. I always was able to listen to the show.
I miss Michael dearly. There's that chemistry me and Michael had.
Unfortunately, Michael is no longer able to join us today because of his uni timetable. Mm. As in his own words, he got stuffed up by the uni. So, unfortunately for him, he won't be able to join Mondays. But anyway, that's it for us two. We'll be back every Monday, you and I, now.
It's going to be fantastic.
Hopefully, you and I can produce some chemistry like you and Michael did.
Rebound. Never know. Oh, you're rebound, but
I may not be able to copy Michael, but you never know. Right. Obviously, do keep in touch with us on Facebook at the Sports Desk, and Neve has got our Twitter page back up and going.
Yes,
Sports Desk are on Twitter, so do follow us at the Sports Desk there. But anyway, we're going to leave you today on the Sports Desk. We've got Schools on Air up next, and on Wednesday you've got Caleb and Liam.
Yes,
so stay tuned. Thank you.